On today's Part of My Take, we have the one and only mayor of Flavortown. It is Guy Fieri. I screwed up and I did the American pronunciation of his name. You gave me a look.
We corrected it.
Right away. Guy Fieri. Awesome interview. One of those interviews we just wish we had more time, and I think he'll give us more time eventually, but a good 30 minutes with Guy. His energy is off the charts. He also gave us food. He's brought a bunch of food from his, or had it delivered at 9 a.m. Nothing like eating a cheeseburger and wings at 9 a.m. on a Friday morning. Okay, we now welcome on a very, very, very special guest. Long overdue. We've wanted him on the show for a very long time. It is the one and only mayor of Flavortown, Guy Fieri. He's here. Tournament of Champions is debuting on Sunday night, March 7th. March 7th. I got my dates right.
Check it out
on Food Network. You can also watch it on Hulu. Guy, we are so excited for this interview, and we just said it before we started. My first question is, I got into the office at around 8:45. Walking behind me was someone with huge bags of food from your restaurant. Now, was this specially for us, or do you give food to every podcast you go on?
Well, considering that you're the only podcast that I'm on today, it's only for you.
Perfect. It was something special to see at 9 in the morning.
Just so you know, I sent you like 4 kitchens worth of food.
Yeah.
So I know that there's got to be a bunch of folks around there that are hungry. And having being in this food industry my whole life, I know that there's nothing worse than talking about food and not getting to taste the food. So I wanted to make sure that you were all taken care of and more to come. Now, this is a great, this Flavortown kitchen has been unbelievable. You know, our industry has been hit so hard, and I know you all highlight food on a regular basis and love Dave and his work of his pizza reviews. I got to tell you, the industry got hit so hard, the industry's had to pivot and change. And I think that the guests and the consumers are out, the people are out there eating are realizing that delivery and to go are such a great new medium. You can't, there's not enough seats. A lot of restaurants aren't even open for in-house dining, especially on the East Coast. And it's just not, they're just not going to make enough money on doing it on 25% occupancy. So everybody has really switched gears into delivery. So having a bunch of restaurants around the country already and wanting to expand that, we said, listen, let's find some restaurant partners that have big kitchens and have staff that they want to keep employed and keep working. And let's set up some Guy Fieri, American Kitchen and Bar, some Flavortown and make it available across country. So we're at 150 locations. 25, 30 cities now and expanding. So I'm glad, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Some of my
greatest hits.
I loved it. And that's a genius idea. Like taking places that already have the infrastructure that need people that might not have enough work at the time. And then giving them an opportunity to continue working as a restaurant industry shut down. That's very cool. I think this is the first time I've ever had like half a bacon cheeseburger and a Cubano sandwich for breakfast.
Yeah, before, I had a wing at 9 a.m.
Before 10 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And it was hot. And I was like, how did this happen?
As you said, we need to hang out more often.
Yes.
We need to hang out more often. I need to get you in a championship diet here. This is how we do it. I mean, we roll out early with the bacon, mac and cheese, the Cuban sandwich, some big poppers and a few wings, little queso dip. It's probably going to be dangerous if we hang out though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're almost too much flavor, I think, in one room. Do you ever get sick of talking about food?
You know, I could throw it right back to you guys and say, do you ever get sick of talking about sports or ever get sick of talking about, crazy things or, no. I mean, it's what's in my blood. It's what I've always done. It's what I love and anything, all things and everything that have to do with food. I mean, I read menus like novels. I sit there and we were just at a Cuban restaurant in Florida the other day, and I'm sitting there and I made my decision about what I was going to have. And my wife says, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I just, reading the rest of the menu. She goes, what are you reading? And I'm like, well, I just want to see what they're talking about here with these things, these descriptions. And why did they put that menu item there and not here? No, this is what it's what I do. It's what I enjoy. I read cookbooks for fun. So it's, never get sick of it. And the great thing is it's kind of just like the world of sports as well. it's never the same thing tomorrow. You know, it's just evolving forever. You'll never be, you'll never know it all about it as well. That's my other favorite thing. It's new every day.
Yeah, cause you really have to have a passion for it, considering I'm sure that everybody that talks to you, they just want to talk about food. That's like the first thing that they bring up. So you have to actually be in love with it to be able to continue. Like this has been your life for the last, what, like 35, 40 years. You really have to be like zeroed in on it and really enjoy it to continue to do what you're doing.
Well, it's kind of like when someone comes up and talks to you about something, it's nice to talk to people that know something about it. It's when they come in and they go, "Oh, I hate that kind of food." And I go, "Why?" "Well, because I hate vegetables." All right, I don't know that we're going to talk much. You know, this, you're not coming off on a foundation of reality. You know, that makes it a little difficult to engage. But, you know, the world has changed about food, or at least our world has in the United States, has changed about food dramatically, especially, and unfortunately, we've had the pandemic. But you got to find the silver lining out of things. And people really learned more about food, I think, in this last year. They've learned to cook better. I know that for a fact. They've learned to accept different styles of food because they've had to, and different cultures of food. And I think when you open up your mind, when you open up your palate to food, I think you open up your mind. I think you open up and say, "Oh, let me understand about this type of Eastern European food, or this Indian food, or this, you know, this culture of food, or wow, this preparation style. You know, why is this done?" I just think that it's food represents a lot more than just the consumption of calories or consumption of proteins. It's a consumption of it's an experience.
So
like eating a bacon mac and cheeseburger in a studio at 8 o'clock in New York.
Yes. So the one thing that I love about you, Guy, is that you are you. And I mean that in the way that you are authentic to yourself and you make food fun. And you were talking about, you know, correlating to us talking about sports. When we started this podcast, we kind of always said, "Well, let's have fun with it. You know, it shouldn't be serious." When you started Triple D, did you have that as a conscious decision? Like, "Hey, I'm going to be something for the people, for the common people." Or was it, "I'm just following what I love and eventually it's going to work out"?
I wish I could remember that far back when I started Triple D. You know, as you guys get older, you'll start to realize you start to lose some of that connection. It evolved. First, what it started as is, and I honestly, like the first year or 2 years that we did it, I'm like, "Well, this will go on a couple of years, you know, and then we'll be done." And then all of a sudden I realized, "Oh my God, this country is so huge. This world of food is so much bigger than I even imagined. And this will happen forever. I mean, I'll be doing this thing in a walker. I'm trying to get my son Hunter to figure it out now, you know, put on some weight, kid. And you start, you know, drive, you know how to drive a stick shift. You're going to have to take over in a few years." It's what it has become. What it always was for me is, here's a great chance to show all these small little restaurant owners, these mom and pops, and I was a mom and pop restaurant at the time. Hey, here's a great way to give them a ton of attention, send a bunch of people to them, and maybe this can help. Well, I didn't have any idea what the impact would be. I mean, if I thought it was going to be this big, it was 10 miles long. And so that's been an amazing side of it. And now what it is to continue that, but also to not have any boundaries. You know, it's kind of like me being on your show today. I mean, how awesome to talk about food on, you know, on this great sports podcast but you guys talk about everything. I mean, you guys have become worldly in that respect. So I think that it's in that same idea. Have fun, be genuine, respect the program, treat people great. And don't take yourself too seriously and don't get too rigid.
Yeah. Right.
And be flexible on what can happen. I think those have been that's been the recipe for us.
You've definitely brought like a relentless positive energy to food television, which is something that it was missing, I think. You know, sometimes it gets like a little stuffy, it gets a little full of itself, especially in like the food criticism realm. And so I think people naturally gravitated towards that. And my favorite part of any Triple D episode is right after you take the bite, figuring out which level Guy Fieri is going to react to. Excuse me, Guy Fieri. Because there are three levels, right, in my opinion. The first,
I love these theories. This to me is like,
I have
this
one
is too, like,
that'll drop after PFTs.
When you think something's good, not great, you take the bite and you look at the person, you nod and you're like, "That's out of bounds, man." As you're chewing, right? theory number, the second one is you take a bite and then you just put your hands on the table like you're LeBron coming out of the game and needing a quick breath. Like you just start breathing as you're thinking about it and you just kind of get lost in your brain, right? And then the ultimate Guy Fieri compliment is when you take a bite and then you tell the camera, like, I'm going to need a minute to process this. And then you go in for bite two as the camera is, like, panning out from you. Would you say that's a fair assessment of, like, the three levels of how much you like something?
Well, I think that your guy impersonations are spot on. And matter of fact, if you could cover a couple shows next Thursday for me, it would really help open my schedule up. There are differences of exclamation, mm-hmm. and exuberance and contemplation. First and foremost, if I don't like it, you don't see it.
Oh, I think, okay, yeah. So here's my theory. I think if you don't, the you aren't harsh on people, which I actually love because it's supposed to be fun. But I think your tell is when you say something's the real deal, you're just literally saying it's real. And that's the baseline of niceness. So it's probably not great, but it's real. It's actually fit. It's tangible. You are touching it. It's the real deal. Okay, I don't really like this, but I'm going to say something nice to you.
I've never been psychoanalyzed on Triple. I've never had it broken down like this.
I think that's it.
This is actually really going. Hey guys, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to start paying better attention to this because I don't know what the hell you're talking about. It's asked all the time. First thing I just tell people is one, I won't bullshit you. If I don't like it, I don't like it. There's a difference about...
You can't cuss on this podcast, Guy.
Okay.
Actually, no.
I won't do that.
Yeah, you can just not bitch.
I'll tell you what it is, though. Different things affect you at different times. Like, sometimes you'll really get in... I've been watching... someone turn that pot down for me, please. I've been watching 30 on 30, the ESPN. Yep. I've just been watching all of those. I just watched the Ali, Larry Holmes, the final fight in the 80s. I mean, gosh, I remember that fight. I remember the whole things, but I get to a different age where, like, I'm really interested in all the complexities of what was going on. So I think that there's different times that different foods strike you different ways. Also, there's something on top of it about where you are recently, where you're in headspace, on and on and on. So I can't say that there is a definitive explanation to say this is the thing that I specifically do when I have that feeling. Whatever is coming out at the time that I say it is what is really going on. And sometimes when I have to do this, I'm trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to say.
What word you're going to make up. So do you have...
No, there's no... And it's not... Listen, it's the weirdest thing. I don't have any of these words. I don't say crunchification because I'm trying to be funny. Okay? I don't make this shit... I mean, I say whatever... Yeah. Thank God I have great editors because there's more smack talk going on than you could ever imagine. That if the blooper videos... I don't know if you've ever seen the bloopers that happen at the end of the show.
Yes.
Stuff's for real, and that's picking. They'll send me 30 of them and say, okay, which one do you want at the end of the show? Because it's somebody falling over, something getting knocked over, somebody cussing, you know, a dog barking, whatever, the lights go out, whatever. So there's always crazy stuff that happens. But no, to get to your whole thing, there is one thing that does happen sometimes, and they don't show it as often because it takes a lot of time. But sometimes I'll walk off set. Mm. I'll take a bite of something and I'll take off on a walk. And I'll put it on the hallway.
Just need some time to be alone.
Because I have to get myself away from the food because I'll shove more in my mouth.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So but they don't always show you. Edit's a weird animal, you know, because it can chop off the tail end of the, you know, which might be the final bite line, but you don't have that much time, you know, because the show is only 22 minutes long with commercials. So, but a great question.
We're going to get back to Guy in a second, but before we do, this interview is being brought to you by Whoop. Whoop. Billy, when you say I have to take a piss, the mic can pick you up. I know you're not wearing your headphones. I know. Yeah, I know you're whispering it. Billy's Piss Break is brought to you by Whoop. We love Whoop. I'm wearing my Whoop band right now. It's a health and fitness tracker that quantifies and tracks personalized data like sleep, recovery, strain, and more. Not to brag, but I had a 93% recovery this morning. So you know what I did? I went to the gym. Went to the gym for the first time in like 3 months. Went into a physical gym, lifted weights, went for a run. I knew I could do it because I was wearing my Whoop, and it told me that my body was prime, it was recovered, and it was ready to work out. And each day when you get up, Whoop gives you a recovery score based on your sleep, your respiratory rate, your resting heart rate, and your heart rate variability. This score will let you know how to approach your day, whether you should push yourself or if you should take it easy. The way it works is you wear the Whoop band around your wrist all day, and the band connects with an app on your phone. It automatically measures your heart rate, your calories, and your activity levels throughout the day, so you don't ever have to start and stop for workouts. There's also a built-in sleep coach, so it'll tell you how much sleep you should be getting based on your expected activity level for the following day. It also tracks your 4 sleep cycles: awake, light, REM, and slow wave sleep. We've been wearing our bands for a couple months now, and it's been awesome to track our sleep and our activity during quarantine. Whether you're looking to sleep better, if you're training for an event, or if you're just trying to build healthier habits, Whoop can make you smarter. It can help you make smarter lifestyle choices and help you perform at your best. And you've seen them on TV. You've seen NFL athletes wearing them. You've seen NBA athletes wearing their products. You've seen golfers wear them. They use them to track spikes in respiratory rate. That can be an early indication of infection. So if you're trying to stay healthy, you're monitoring your health, a great way to do that is by wearing Whoop. And right now, Whoop is offering 15% off when you use promo code TAKE at checkout. Go to Whoop, WHOOP.com. Enter TAKE at checkout. Save 15%. Whoop at check or Whoop.com. TAKE at checkout. 15% off. And now here's more Guy Fieri.
So while we're on the sayings, what comes first? You actually try something on a flip-flop, or you get served something in a trash can lid? Because I think you have to do one of the two. Whenever you say something could be good on a flip-flop, it's so good you could eat it on a flip-flop. And then when it's so much food, serve it in a trash can lid. I think eventually, if you do this show for as long as you want to do this show, you have to do one or the other. The people need it.
I think that it's probably... And I was just in Florida shooting Triple D, and I wore flip-flops the entire time. And I'll tell you, are you guys flip-flop guys?
Not really.
In the summer.
Oh. Have you ever tried OOFs?
No.
OOFOS? The bomb flip. I'm going to send you some.
Okay.
The bomb flip.
Bomb.com. Got them when I was in Hawaii.
But I wear those because they got great arch support. And so I'm there. And the joke is, every time someone sees me in flip-flops, they'll say to me, would you eat that on the flip-flop? And I don't know where that came from, guys. I was saying that the food was so great that even on my flip-flop, which I've been wearing, it would still be great. Uh-huh. That was the whole reason for that stupid line, or that crazy line, is because it was like, this would even be good on a flip-flop. And you don't know what you're going to say. Like Flavortown. Flavortown never started as... Flavortown was a one time I said it. And I said, this looks like... I think it was a pizza. And I said, it looks like the manhole cover in Flavortown. Harmless.
Yeah.
I'm walking through the airport. I got my film crew with me. We're going to shoot Triple D somewhere. And someone goes, the manhole cover, Flavortown. And I'm like, yeah, Flavortown. Other people said Flavortown. And I said to Chico, who's my number one camera guy, my DP, I said, what's the flavor? And he goes, remember you said the thing about the pizza, the Flavortown? So then we brought it up again. I said something, and some guy had a plate. And I said, it looks like a bus, the steering wheel of the bus in Flavortown. Oh, geez, that was it, man. Uh-huh. It blew up from
hot
there.
Tubs in Flavortown.
Flavortown thing, that's where it was born. I'm not kidding you. And it now has taken on to, well, now we have, Flavortown Kitchen. So it's a whole nother world.
I mean, it's something that's just so much fun to say.
Right.
Like if you take a bite of something that's really spicy and you're like, that is Flavortown, baby. Like you feel better after you say
when you see a big pot of something and you're like, that's a hot tub in Flavortown. That's my favorite when you do that.
But see that, and I'm glad you guys get it because you have your own vernacular and your own words and sayings and your double entendres that you guys play. And I'll tell you, it is a way to explain that a big hot Dutch oven of, cassoulet, and you go like, right there, that's the volcano of Flavortown. your mind can go, oh, crazy, big, over the top, must be delicious. You know, something Guy Fieri would eat. Oh, that's a triple D. You know, that has its own little place. So it's become its own little descriptive style and attitude. But it's fun. And I listen, that you guys hit the nail on the head. I'm positive. I believe in the better opportunities that we have than the worse. And I think that, you know, like this pandemic we've been facing, we found the chance to rally as a country and support one another and find the better, you know, and there's so many people that have lost so much and have been through such terrible times that I'm just happy that someone can hear Flavortown or order Flavortown, or we can have this podcast and can make somebody smile or make somebody not think about the terrible shit that's going on and, you know, keep it on the upswing. Cause that's what we got to do.
For sure.
You got to find the silver lining.
Yeah, definitely. I've got two suggestions for you. You can take them or you can leave them. The first would be, I know you do run into that experience time and again where you don't exactly know what to say to somebody about their food if you don't like it. I know you say you don't put it on the air. But what I say, if I'm eating food in front of somebody that made it for me, I don't want to offend them, I say, there's a lot going on in here, a lot of flavors going on in here. And it's not a lie. It can be totally true. And you can hate the flavors, but if you say, like, man, there's a lot going on in here, it's not really an insult. But it's not also lying to their face, you know?
And you've got a great vocabulary and a great style about it. And you're very, you know, that's the right way to treat people. Everybody, they made it and gave it to you because they intended it to make you happy.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't go like, hey, let me see how bad I can screw this up and see if this guy will choke it down. Well. So that is a great way to say it. And there's been several times, more than several, there's been hundreds of times when I've had a chef make me something and it hasn't worked. And I've just looked right at him and said, chef, this doesn't work. Now, I'm a chef, so I have that right to say that. And I do it with the utmost respect if I think they can handle it. If I don't think they're ready to handle it, then I've got nothing to prove to do this. I'm not going into shame people. I'm not a food critic. I'm not in that realm. That's not my style. That's not my energy. I don't, you know. But if I do think that I could explain to them maybe something where they took a misstep or something might have happened, then I'll do that. But there's no reason shaming people and making people feel bad, especially about food. That's like having some guy play music on stage and go, you're playing in the wrong key.
Yeah.
You know, who would do that? You know, nobody does that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second suggestion that I had, because I've started to deal with heartburn over the last, I don't know, 6-7 years of my life. And I really suck at getting it under control because I love eating all the foods that give me heartburn. Why not, like, combine them and do almost, like, if you're making chicken wings, do a Tums dry rub on the outside or, like, sprinkle it on, like, seasoning so you combine the Tums with the hot food that you're about to eat. Have you ever tried something like that?
You got a lot going on here.
Yeah, I do.
Got a lot of big flavors.
A lot of big flavors. But give it a thought, Guy. I feel like it's solving a problem before it starts.
I shot a place one time on Triple D, and they had these ice cream machines, and they made all this crazy styles of ice cream. And I told the guy the same thing. It's like, man, I get heartburn all the time, especially after all the, you know, indulgent food I eat. I said, let's make some Pepto-Bismol ice cream. So we made it. We went and got Pepto-Bismol. And it actually wasn't bad. For anybody that has heartburn, if you could think, what would be more soothing than something coating your stomach, making you that's super ice cold?
Yeah.
Didn't sell, though. It didn't sell at all. It had a lot of big flavors going on, and there was a lot, lot of effort. A lot of good effort. Not exactly, not winning the game with this one. I don't know how that would actually at all be possible to put any type of any antacid on it. And I did some great Rolaids commercials. And I'm a big I love spicy food. I love all levels of food. And I love wine. And I love all the things that participate in heartburn. And I will tell you is typically it has to do with diet. And that's about as all I can tell you.
Yeah.
Is what you eat and when you eat it.
So think about that one. I have to ask this question. You are a diehard sports fan, Raiders, Warriors. What does Mark Davis order at P.F. Chang's?
I know Mark.
Yeah,
Mark's
I know.
A wonderful guy.
Yep.
Mark's a wonderful guy. I think Mark would play it. I think Mark would play it right up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would go orange chicken, chicken fried rice, egg roll. They could go right up the middle. I don't really see him diversifying it. Now, Gruden, on the other hand,
yeah.
Gruden, my brother, he's into food. He's been on Triple D with me. He's a food guy. He'd go wherever I took him. If I wanted to take him out of PF Chang's and we wanted to go down the street to some funky little Thai joint, where there's only two tables and you got to get it and eat it out of a plastic container, out of a styrofoam container in the back of the 68 Camaro, sitting on the hatchback, he'd go for anything. And then round two, if we wanted to go to the next place. So he's a little bit more on the wild side of the culinary spectrum.
And you and Gruden, I would imagine, just sit there just complimenting the food in the most like hyperbolic way possible. And it's just the most fun of all time because both you guys have that enthusiasm.
Hey, Coach to me is, and we talk on a regular basis, is one of those guys that if you want to find the positive aspect of what's going on in the world and how to look at the upside of the down situation, God, that guy, he wrote the book, man. He wrote the book. And it's I'm so happy. I've been love the Raiders, die hard. The Vegas move was so tough for me, as it was for everybody here in Northern California. But having gone to college at UNLV, graduated the year we won the NCAA, the running Rebs, that was the only thing that was going to make me at all okay, you know, is we left Oakland and we went there, but we have a better stadium and more on and on and on. Yeah. But no, he is the king of bringing the good energy and looking at things the right way. And boy, he's had some challenges, you know, yeah. You guys know it better than me, but it's great. We're on an upswing. I mean, we are going in the right direction. We are getting collected and unified, and I think the stadium, I think Vegas is great for us. I mean, you guys didn't ask all this, but I'm super passionate and super super excited. I have a restaurant in the stadium, which I could – listen, I've been disappointed about not being able to open on time or have an issue or whatever. God damn, I was so bummed. We were so ready. We trained the staff. We were ready to go, and we didn't get to open.
And it's the sexiest stadium in North America, Allegiant Stadium. Look at the look in your eye. You've seen
bro.
It. You've driven past. Yeah, bro is right.
It is Vegas. Here's what Vegas has always meant. And I thought it was so crazy. People say, oh, I can't bring major sports to Vegas because of, you know, people. And so, no, you know what? It's the best place to go for sports because you got great accommodations. Phenomenal. I mean, I've been to so many Super Bowls and I've stayed in some really bad hotels because the city can't handle the load, you know, of the millions or the thousands, not millions, the thousands of people that come there. And so you're displaced and all this kind of stuff that happens. Vegas is perfect for it because it can handle the hundreds of thousands and people love to come around the stadium. They may not go to the game, but they love to come to the energy of the stadium. So in just so many different aspects, it's great. And the stadium is beautiful and the Raiders deserve it. Playing in Oakland, you know, playing in that stadium for a long time. They needed a refresh and this is tough move, but positive in a lot of ways.
So Guy, I know you got to go. You're a busy guy. You have to come back on. You have to come back on for
I'm down anytime. Okay. We don't have to have anything to talk about.
All right. We have a million other questions that we'll leave, but I had one last question. Do you ever get weirded out when you see people in public who are dressed exactly like you? Because you do have impeccable style, and there's a whole group of men that I think just like cosplay as Guy Fieri all the time. Like their life is now your fashion, your style. Does that weird you out a little?
The Halloween costumes, I think, were the one when it really, I kind of had to go, hold on a second. It's the greatest form of flattery. Okay. You know, I give it the Elvis theory. You know, he Elvis did it right. Still to this day, these people are still out there, you know, doing the impressions of the king. The only time that it doesn't sit well with me, and this is the saddest thing I can ever tell you, and it bums me out like you don't even know, because listen, if you want to have bleach blonde hair and tattoos and, you know, go for it. You know what? This is kind of how I ended up. So it is what it is. But please don't tell people that you're me and then have them buy you drinks and take your picture. Because I'm not kidding you guys. This is no bullshit. In the thousands of people sending me pictures to my, you know, to my address, I don't know how to find the address, and saying it was so great hanging out with you in Las Vegas, and would you sign the picture? And I have to write back to people and say, I'm sorry, this is not me.
It's a different guy.
And I'll send them an autographed picture of me, but they're not in it. And it breaks my heart, because why do people like that? Why make people think that? That's such a shitty thing to do. So that's the only thing that bums me out.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I run into the FieriCon in New York. Just wait, FieriCon, by the way. If we hadn't had COVID, it might have happened this year.
Oh, we're in. We're in.
Yeah, I'm there.
We're in.
I'm going to show up, and I'm going to have the best Guy Fieri, non-Guy Fieri outfit, and people are like, man, you really look like him. And they're not going to know it.
We're in. We're in.
I love it. Yes. That sounds like the best time ever.
Yes.
That New York City will be renamed Flavortown for a day when you do that.
Wouldn't that be the funniest, to go there and they think it's – are you? But I'll have a bad accent or something. I'm going to make it work. You watch. I'm gonna film it.
All right, well, you got to stop by the show when you do that, and we got to talk for like an hour and a half, because
we'll do a 24-hour marathon.
Love it. Thank you so much, Guy. We really appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me. Love it. You guys rock.
All right, see ya.
Good luck, Guy.
You guys.